mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Here we have a rare treat. The keeper of the forest, as some have coined her. Built to carry heavy loads, long distances, using minimal natural resources. Her coat of iron and steel keeps her safe. You can just feel the motherly instinct she has for her surroundings.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move one ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Oh, good morning. It is Monday, the 24th day of September 2012. I want to welcome you all back as we punch in for another week, 1 week closer to Election Day on November 6th. And certainly the show we have today will reflect much of what we will be focusing on as we move forward. If you are a sports fan, it was a very difficult weekend, even for those who got a victory, and there was only one to speak of. It was not comforting by any measure. And while we can look at some of the more positive things happening on the political side, we can certainly hope that all of you are doing well personally and professionally. But we are still concerned that we are not getting the message out as we look at polling, especially for the proposal issues. Although they are winning, they are not winning by margins that make anybody comfortable. And so we are going to continue nonstop between now and Election Day to continue to educate, empower, and inform, because that is our charge, and we take it quite seriously. Anyway, we do have a very good show lined up for you today. I'm going to begin the program with our guests in the 7 o'clock hour with some folks from the NAACP in Florida, of all places. As we know, and we've talked about on the show numerous times, but voter suppression laws in Florida have been a constant legal battle. The law, which had been reversed now, would have made it a felony to register voters inappropriately. And the way they define it appropriately was just absolutely asinine. In fact, the League of Women Voters, one of the most nonpartisan organizations on the face of this earth connected to anything political, would have made them felons had they had continued to do what they do. Anyway, there's going to be an awareness, if you will, of the challenges facing those in Florida. I wanted to share that with you, and we will in the 7 o'clock hour. At 7:35, my friend Roland Leggett from Equality Michigan will be with us. I had said last week, teasing this segment a little bit, if you are an activist and you wanted a vacation, well, we're going to give you the answer today. Roland will join us at 7:35, 8 o'clock. The chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, here with a laundry list of things to talk about. And on our blog roll segment, Chris Savage joins us once again. Chris will be, and that's, by the way, I forgot to tell you guys, Christine and Chris switched today. So look up Chris's number because he'll be our guy at 8:35. We're going to talk a little bit about the West Wing commercial from Supreme Court candidate Bridget Mary McCormick, and remind you that tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour, the three Supremes will be on this very program for an entire hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, Michael Sternberg will join us. He's the legal director of the ACLU of Michigan, talking about the citizen checkoff box and the coalition of people that have come together to fight that from a legal perspective. And we will close out today's show with my friend John Kulitz. He is with the Recall Janice Daniels campaign in Troy. And we'll get an update from him and let you know how you can help, as they've got a big fundraiser this week that does require, oh, I don't know, $5-$10 if you got it. Well, with that said, we got a lot to get to, so let's get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is percent, and I think it's appropriate coming off the week of percentages. We can talk about Romney's percentage in taxes at 14.1, or we can talk about the 47% or the 53% or the 6% or the 99% or the 1%. Percent, percent, percent. Yeah, it does matter. Suddenly it matters a great deal. And as we start doing the math, as Bill Clinton told us, the math doesn't lie. Well, we know one thing. Republicans plus compassion is not a compatible equation. Republicans plus anything to do with the social good, another incompatible equation. I could go on, but it would get tedious and boring real quick for all of us. Let's just suffice it to say that in today's world of whatever Republican politics means, and I don't even pretend to know anymore, I truly don't, they've got issues. And it's not just that they're not going to be able to elect the next president, and they won't. The bigger issue is they don't know who they are right now. They don't know if they're conservative. They don't know if they're liberal. They don't know if they're moderate. They don't know if they're teabaggers. They don't know what they are, but they do know this. That they think that if they just continue to stay on message, that somehow a certain percentage, and they're hoping it's the minority, by the way, Mitt, that would be 50.1%, the majority, 50.1%, will agree with them. Well, you can do the math all the different ways you want to do it, but the percentages pretty much come out the same. I don't need the number, I just need you to know that this campaign has got to be one of the worst in modern history. And there's no question that Mitt Romney, no matter how you do the math, and I don't care how you do it, the percentage just doesn't add up for him. So, ladies and gentlemen, today's first word is percent. And my, oh, my, oh, my, Anthony, as I welcome you back this morning, if we look at the percentages of what we were hoping was going to happen this blew an opportunity to end up in first place, and instead, you know, here's the crazy thing. Chicago loses and ends up gaining a full game on the Tigers. This is crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, we did gain, what, another game up over the weekend, so I'm not too mad about that.
All right, well, spin it any way you want, but the Tigers did lose a doubleheader yesterday and had a chance to walk out in first place. What do we have, 10 games left?
Yep, 10.
Okay.
Well, that was our 11th one-run loss in a row.
Sweet Jesus.
Yep.
All right, well, let's back up to Saturday. As I said, Michigan State wins 23-7, but Anthony, as you know, that first half was downright embarrassing. Eastern Michigan toyed with them. there's no way you walk away from a 23-7 win against a so much weaker foe than Eastern Michigan and have anything positive to say. Again, I don't know how you spin this one in a positive way except they won.
Yeah, I mean, Maxwell's worse than I thought he was. I mean, he's bad.
Yeah, he is bad. No question about that. Then we fast forward to Saturday night. As you know, I excruciatingly watched Michigan get bitch slapped by Notre Dame. Not a good game either. And let's be honest about it. On both sides of the ball, neither team played all that well. But Michigan played awful. And Denard Robinson turned that ball over as if it was part of the game plan.
Yeah, I do not know what he was thinking. He was throwing off his back foot basically the whole game. I mean, they would have been better off just running the ball on an option play to him every play. I that was just bad.
Yeah, so it is just it is what it is, and we're just going to have to get over it. And, of course, last but not least, and we've covered the Tigers, but last but not least, as you know, the Lions did something incredibly heroic in 18 seconds. And, of course, as we've heard so many times, football is a game of inches, and inches cost us the game yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. I was all for going for it on fourth down, but there was no point to rush to the line, hike the ball that quickly, and try to do a quarterback sneak. I don't know what they were thinking.
I don't either. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe they were trying to draw them off, but that couldn't have been it. So I just don't know. But they did lose. They're 1-2. I'm trying to think here. Beyond the secondary, it's not like we don't have offense. And, of course, the second half was a whole lot better than the first half. The defensive line, although they weren't incredible yesterday, they certainly held their own. But our secondary is just awful. They've got to do something, Anthony. They can't go the rest of the season with this group.
Well, they're probably going to have to. I mean, there's nobody else really out there. Otherwise, he'd already be on our team.
Wow. That's a big negator. All right. Well, that's...
What is the early word on Stafford?
He's having an MRI today.
Okay.
So I don't... That's all the paper said this morning.
Is it a leg? It was a leg.
Ankle.
Ankle, okay.
Ankle. So, you know, with any luck, it's better today already. I'm sure he got treatment last night. However they do that, I don't know. I don't really worry too much. As we saw yesterday, Sean Hill is more than capable as a backup. Anthony, I know you do, but, I mean, we are so lucky to have him as a backup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is great. I just really want to see Stafford out there.
I do, too. But if for some reason he can't be there, I don't feel like we drop off. I mean, they're very different quarterbacks, very different styles, but Sean Hill is very capable. I'm very capable. So I don't freak out when he's the guy that's got to step up. So we'll be okay with that. All right, let's take a quick break here. We had a lot to get to this morning. Of course, you're always welcome to join us, and we love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. I really do hope you all had a nice weekend. The weather, with the exception of the rain on Saturday, wasn't all that bad. Yesterday was cool but beautiful. This morning, awfully chilly out there. But as you know, fall began on Saturday. So happy fall to each and every one of you. We get to the break. Tony at thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. When we get back, we'll talk about the Facebook poll question of the day and get this thing going. I am Tony Trupiano. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break and be back.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
Mitt Romney's released only 1 year. To the McCain campaign, he released 23 years. And he's telling the American people, I'm not going to give you what I've given John McCain's people in 2008. And when he gave them 23 years, John McCain's people looked at it and said, let's go with Sarah Palin.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we still have that closure of southbound 75 at Square Lake Road. You can use the alternate route of M59 eastbound to Adams Road southbound, then hop back on to 75 southbound. On 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road, you reduce down to two lanes. That is your total traffic. update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 65. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 72 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
6:22 in the morning on this Monday morning. Welcome back. I am Tony Tribbiano. Great to be with you. We, as I said, we've got a lot of stuff coming your way. This morning, we've got some great audio that we're going to share with you. A little sad news. For those of you that heard about the baby panda that was born last week, sadly, that baby panda passed away. I just learned that as I was watching the news during the break and don't know the details, but that's very sad. It's, you know, as you know, it's very rare for these things to happen in captivity, and so it was a very special thing for not only the zoo but the greater nation, as these become quite interesting spectacles for us, and it's just very sad. And I can't imagine that poor panda bear having to deal with the loss of that that little cub. It's sad. Anyway, wanted to pass that along as I was just watching it. I'd had an, had an interesting weekend. Certainly, accomplished about 80% of what I wanted to accomplish. That's not a good thing. But I was busy. I've got to figure out a way to stop working Saturday because I put in about 7 hours on Saturday and another three or four yesterday. And I was really actually quite fortunate. Friday night,
I went to my older sister's home, and she had a bunch of my cousins over for dinner, and saw a bunch of family members that I had not seen in quite a long time. That was delightful. And then yesterday, I went with one of my younger sisters to pick up some furniture. Her and her partner, Victoria, are buying a little cabin up north, and so one of my cousins had some furniture, so I went with them. That's one of the gifts of having a truck. You get that call at least once a month. And I went and saw my cousin Teresa and her husband, and was just so delighted to see both of them. They have a beautiful home, and I had not been there before, so it was great to do a little family stuff this weekend, which I recommend to all of you if you've not done that. I am really, truly blessed family-wise. I've got a large family, and I've always been very close to them, especially my mother's side of the family, and I'm just so blessed that I have that. So for those of you that also have that, you know what I'm speaking of. I've rarely met people that are as close to their extended family as mine is, and it's a real gift. So I enjoyed that, and happy that I was able to get a little social time in as well this weekend. So don't want to make it sound like it was a bummer all weekend long, because that would be incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. All right. Well, let's go to some of the audio that we have, because there's plenty of it, I assure you. I hardly know where to start, but I'm going to start with the story of a teacher in Craig, Colorado, who was invited to speak at a roundtable where candidate Mitt Romney was going to be appearing. I'm going to let the story tell itself, but I think in and of itself it's quite telling the way Willard kind of feels about education. And, you know, you don't really need a whole lot but the truth. Let's listen.
When I was asked to speak with Mitt Romney, it seemed like a very important thing to me, and I wanted to put a lot of careful thought into what I would say. So I went to the roundtable discussion very optimistic and interested in hearing what he had to say. When he sat down, one of the first questions he asked was, he said, "I understand there's a teacher here today. Which one of you is the teacher?" So I raised my hand thinking, well, that's a good thing. He's interested in education, but it wasn't a good thing. I felt like his view was a little old-fashioned. I was surprised by it. He went on to kind of lecture me about schools and how bad they are. He talked bad about the teachers' union. He was talking about the importance of private schools and voucher systems. At one point, I said to him, "I have an answer for that." And he said, "I didn't ask you a question." When I think of Mitt Romney, I don't think of a person that could really relate to small-town Craig, Colorado. Although he came here, I don't think that his life experience would allow him to really understand the perspective of people that live in a small town. One of the things that I like best that Obama has done for education is that he is releasing states from No Child Left Behind. Colorado is one of the states that's been lucky enough to be released. I did not become a teacher to become wealthy or powerful. I became a teacher to make a difference. It's important to us to have a government and a leader that respects us, that will listen to us, even if he doesn't agree with us. We need to have an open conversation, an open communication between educators and government. And I think President Obama is the one to do that.
Well, you know, and although that may sound to you like a commercial for Barack Obama, it really is not. It really is a story about Willard and his inability to relate to not just the common people. I think that oversimplifies what's really happening here. You know, let me just stop and pause for a moment and remind you, and those of you that listen to the show on any kind of regular basis know that I have a very special place in my heart for teachers and education. It is truly at the core of who I am. I certainly am the person I am today because of those mentors in my life. I don't know that I've ever shared this story with you, but some years back I was running for Congress and I was doing an interview. And they asked me, the reporter had asked me who were some mentors in my life. And as I was going through the list of people and naming them, it occurred to me while I was doing it that they were all related to my education, all of them. I found that extraordinary because I'd never really stopped and thought about it in that way. But they were all either teachers or administrators who had made a profound difference in my life. I don't know that my experience is that much different than most of yours. If we stop and really think about those positive influences in our life, even those challenging influences in our lives. Some of those teachers that I named as mentors were very hard on me. They expected a great deal. They saw through what was my natural gift to BS, and, well, they didn't let me get away with it. I can't begin to tell you how many of those mentors, who all happen to be related to my education in some way, to this day are an important part of who I am. In fact, one of my teachers, who was my journalism teacher in high school, listens to the show on a regular basis, writes me from time to time. Hi, Heidi, if you're listening. And it is special for me to know that they feel, some of them feel the same way about me as I feel about them. There's something to be said, and I think we all know this. Let's just go back to wanting the acceptance of our parents, right? You wanted to be told, I'm proud of you and I'm loved, and that's important. Well, many of us wanted that from our teachers too. And here I am at 51 years old. And every now and then, one of those people that have been attached to me through education reappears in my life, and they tell me they're proud of me. That matters to me. But when we look at somebody like Willard and what he does and how he perceives education and how little respect he gives to the profession of teaching, you know, a couple weeks ago I attended an event, and as I was leaving, there was a gentleman that took me aside because he wanted to take exception to what I had to say. And the sad part about that is he was looking at my remarks on teachers and said, do you realize they only works, you know, 7 months out of the year? And he just went on with every myth. It saddens me that an adult, a retired adult at that, sees education in such a disparaging way. Let's take another break here. We've got more audio to get to. 888-552-3595. We'll be back on First Shift after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we still have that closure of southbound 75 at Square Lake Road. You can use the alternate route of M59 eastbound to Adams Road southbound, then hop back on to 75 southbound. On 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road, you're reduced down to two lanes. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
To quench your thirst, drive through McDonald's and grab a refreshing Dr. Pepper, any soft drink or sweet tea for $1. That's just $1. Ah, McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 65. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 72 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Junior Senator from the state of Michigan, Debbie Stabenow, who joins us now.
Yeah, well, we in Michigan are a tough, independent lot. Folks expect you to work hard and earn their vote, and so I work hard to do that every day. And having lived in Michigan my whole life, I feel a real commitment to Michigan to make sure that I'm there in the middle of the fights that are going to make the difference for us.
First Shift. On 1310 WDTW.
It's always refreshing to hear a multimillionaire tax dodger smugly disparage poor people. Mitt Romney is the multimillionaire's name, the man from Bain who says he should be our president. Well, not everyone's president. At a $50,000 a plate fundraiser in the Tony town of Boca Raton, Florida, Romney heaped scorn on the, quote, 47% of Americans who pay no income tax. These shirkers, Mitt declared, believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. This from a man with three houses, 12 tax shelters in the Cayman Islands, and at least one secret Swiss bank account. He then asserted contemptuously that my job is not to worry about those people. And who are those people? Who were dubbed lucky duckies by the Wall Street Journal for avoiding income taxes? The poor. Mostly they're Social Security retirees whose benefits are too low to be taxed, poorly paid soldiers in Afghanistan and single moms whose meager paychecks entitle them to a child tax credit, disabled veterans and workers who've been maimed on the job. Lucky duckies indeed. Yet, despite their poverty and Romney's snarkiness, they do pay lots and lots of taxes. Payroll taxes, federal fees, sales taxes, local and state assessments, etc. In fact, the poorest Americans pay a higher percentage of their income in state, local, and other federal levies than the richest pay. People making under $20,000 a year, for example, pay nearly a fourth of their income in such taxes, a far bigger percentage than Romney himself pays. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, Mitt didn't mention that there's one special group in the no-tax club he mocks, millionaires. Last year, some 4,000 households with income above $1 million paid zero federal income tax. Where's his scorn for these real tax dodgers?
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
6:35, good Monday morning to you. Willard was on 60 Minutes last night, and, you know, I got to tell you, the guy's not comfortable in his own skin. We're going to spend, I'm sorry, but we're going to spend a lot of time on Willard, especially in this first hour. Yeah, he had a tough week. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But on 60 Minutes last night, Mitt Romney talked about a clear choice for the American people. I think that he's making a great case for that, actually. Let's listen to what he said.
I think the president's right. I think this is a very clear choice for the American people as to what America's future will look like. The president's vision is one of a larger and larger government with trillion-dollar deficits that promises everything to everyone. That's the course that he has laid out. His policy for the economy is more stimulus, more government spending. My course is very different than that. Mine says make government smaller. Don't build these massive deficits that pass debt onto our kids. Rebuild the foundation of America's strength with great homes, great schools, with entrepreneurship and innovation. Keep government as a, if you will, facilitator of freedom in America. But don't have government take away the rights and the freedoms of the American people.
Wow, where do you even begin with that one? More entrepreneurship. So we should all be working for ourselves, and then we don't need to hire people. So we're still not hiring in America. Yeah, we all need beautiful homes. And Mitt, we're not you, okay? Not everybody needs that palace on the hill or the elevator for the car. I think that he's right. We do. He said the president's right. There is a clear choice. And Mitt's making this one easier and easier for us with every passing day. Again, they haven't just doubled down. They've now tripled or quadrupled down on the 47% comment, maybe not using the language anymore, but certainly the spirit in which they offered. We need to make government smaller, and President Obama is just creating more dependency. How many times are you going to say it, Mitt? How many more times are you going to say it before the seniors and the veterans and the disabled in this country are just sick and tired of being offended by you? He went on 60 Minutes to also talk about a lot of things, but he was asked by Steve Croft, does Mitt Romney actually believe in what he says? This is what Willard said.
Some people, Governor, have an uneasy feeling that you're not constant, that you say whatever you have to say in a particular moment.
Well, they can look at my record. I understand that my opposition will do its very best to try and change any way they can the narrative to fit their objectives. The president has certainly changed his view on a whole host of things. He was going to close Guantanamo. It's open. Military tribunals were going to be ended. Now military tribunals continue. The president was opposed to same-sex marriage. Now he's in favor of same-sex marriage.
But what about you? When people wonder, does Romney believe the things that he says? You say what to those people?
The principles I have are the principles I've had from the beginning of my political life. But have I learned? Have I found that some things I thought would be effective turned out not to be effective? Absolutely. If you don't learn from experience, don't learn from your mistakes, why, you know, you ought to be fired.
Yeah, well, then maybe we should fire you because you haven't seemed to learn from your mistakes, Willard. It's all right. And why doesn't that philosophy not swing both ways? Maybe the president, as being president, learned certain things. Maybe he saw the injustice of not talking about equality for all people. And that's why he supports the idea of same-sex marriage. Why is it okay for you to use that, but not for President Obama? That's all right. We'll just move on to the topic of the weekend. As you know, Mitt Romney, quote-unquote, released more of his taxes. He was asked by Steve Croft if he feels, that would be Willard, if he feels he is paying his fair share. This is what he said.
You made on your investments personally about $20 million last year, and you paid 14% in federal taxes. That's the capital gains rate. Is that fair to the guy who makes $50,000 and paid a higher rate than you did?
It is a low rate, and one of the reasons why the capital gains tax rate is lower is because capital has already been taxed once at the corporate level, as high as 35%.
So you think it is fair?
Yeah, I think it's the right way to encourage economic growth, to get people to invest, to start businesses, to put people to work.
And corporate tax rates?
Corporate tax rates also I'd bring down, and with the same idea, let's get rid of some of the loopholes, deductions, special deals, such that we're able to pay for the reduction. I don't want a reduction in revenue coming into the government.
Yeah, there you go. So, yes, he feels it's quite fair. But he made, get a load of it, $20 million last year as unemployed, as he was unemployed. I've done something wrong. I'll be the first to admit it. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Yes, I'm a little jealous. I would love to be independently wealthy, and I am not. I certainly am not. All right, let's move on. There's so much good stuff. It's been a tough week for the Romney campaign. I want to first go to a tough day for the Romney campaign yesterday. The Democratic National Committee just put together a little video to remind us of Romney's sorry Sunday.
Mitt Romney has had a tough week trying to explain secretly recorded remarks he made at a fundraiser last May, in which he said 47% of Americans don't pay federal income taxes and think of themselves as victims.
They see themselves as victims. He now says that he's really for the 100% in America. Is anybody going to buy that, given that dim vision of half the country?
He seemed to write off. He didn't say, well, you know, these are people who are in hard times, but they want to get out of hard times. He was basically saying they're 47%, they're victims, they feel entitled, and they're never going to vote for me anyway, so I'm not going to worry about them.
And if you're, quote, dependent on government, which includes senior citizens, getting Medicare and the like, well, then I can't really, you know, expect your vote. It was a blow.
People seeing themselves as victims and dependent on the government and all that is not true, and therefore very unfortunate.
One strategist who's been involved in a lot of these campaigns said when he saw that video, it was the first time he thought he was seeing the real Romney. That's a problem when your most troubled moment is the one people think is the most authentic moment.
This is a man who has said a lot of things that cause voters out there to go, whoa, he doesn't get me at all, including the 47%.
I think it's a defining moment in the campaign. Who's the real Mitt Romney, the one who said that he didn't have to worry about 47% of the people, or the one who told us at a Univision meeting that he wanted to be the president for 100% of Americans? The problem is that back in February, if you remember, in an interview with CNN, he also said that he was not concerned about the very poor. So, honestly, as a journalist, he has to get out of that box.
He offered political analysis, but policy analysis on 47% of this country, including a lot of Republican voters, people who receive entitlements through Social Security and Medicare that they paid into. And he's talking about this group of people will not take personal responsibility. It betrayed a lack of understanding of how the government works, how America works, the American work ethic. Do you think he needs to go beyond saying that this was inelegant to saying that he was flat wrong?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Mitt's Bad Week. I think we've got just enough time to, we'll wait after the break. I want you to hear how Reince Priebus, who is the chairman of the Republican National Committee, responded to Mitt's Bad Week. But I want to make sure we have enough time. So we'll wait till after the break and get to that. You know, it seems to me, and I think those of us that are intently watching this as we see the poll numbers continue to climb for the president, especially in swing states. Listen, there are some states Mitt Romney's going to win no matter what. We know that. There are some states President Obama's going to win no matter what. We know that. So it's about the hearts and minds of those in the middle. And that's part of what I think Mitt Romney was trying to say. Remember, he said that it wasn't the most elegantly said, but it was truthfully said. And that's really where the trouble comes in for Willard. It seems that in a very negative view of the world. This goes back to something that we chatted about on Friday, where he sees everybody, he and Ann Romney see everybody as the help. I'll remind you that Ann Romney, in an interview with Iowa Radio, said that to the GOP, to their side, they don't know how hard this is. If they think it's so easy, let them get in the game, right? And what else did she say? Just get in line and do what we ask you to do. Well, again, treating them like they are the help. This is the Republican Party we're talking about here. Mitt Romney's not really a Republican in the traditional mold, and I don't even know what that means anymore, but in the traditional mold, he certainly doesn't fit that. We know that there was a time, especially when he was running for the governor of Massachusetts, that he was certainly pro-choice. He certainly was much more tolerant on his view of homosexuals. He is the godfather of what we now call Obamacare. And by the way, Mitt Romney did an interview yesterday where he said, it wasn't during the 60 Minutes interview, where he said that we actually already have a kind of universal health care in the country. It's called emergency room medicine. Yet 2 years ago, on the Morning Joe show, he gave an interview, and you can go look this up. He gave an interview where he said, we can't rely on emergency rooms to be health care for this country. So, you know, Willard, which way do you really want it? And I think I know the truth. You want it every single way you can get it. And I guess at some level we all do, right? We all want to have our cake and eat it too. The problem is the vast majority of us, much more than 47%, will never have their cake and eat it too. Willard? Chances are he always gets to have the cake and eat as much as he wants and then some of yours. We'll take a break. Reince Priebus' response to Mitt's Bad Week when we continue here on First Shift. Stay with us. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
With Tony Tribbiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Tribbiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Tired of paying bills? Enter the Live the Sweet Life contest at SweetJack.com. If you win, Sweet Jack pays your bills for a year. You could travel, get a pet tiger. That's what I would do. Enter the Live the Sweet Life contest now at SweetJack.com.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday morning, I am Tony Trupiano. Welcome back. Thanks for punching in this morning. We go right to Reince Priebus. Reince is the chairman of the Republican National Committee. And when asked on This Week with George Stephanopoulos what he thought of Mitt's week, this is what he said. And then David Axelrod responds.
Voters are going to be hearing about that leaked video every single day.
Well, I mean, listen, I think Governor Romney's been pretty clear. It probably wasn't the best said moment in the campaign, and probably not the best week in the campaign. But I will say that I think we can look back at last week as a campaign in a couple months and say this was the defining week in both campaigns, where I think both campaigns are crystallizing around a central theme, which is going to be what kind of future do we want for our kids and grandkids? What type of America do we want for this country?
Let me interrupt you right there. You're saying you like the choice that was presented to voters last week?
No, here's what I would say. I think that it's an important question. And I think that the question presented to this country and the question that will be presented isn't so much, which we can talk about whether people are better off today than they were 4 years ago, and clearly we're not. But I think the more important question is what type of America and whether or not our kids are going to be better off 4, 10, and 20 years from today. And the policies that Barack Obama are putting in place, where we have seen just an enormous growth in people that are dependent on the government. I mean, it's just a fact. I don't think that's the type of America we want for our kids and grandkids. And I think that is an important question. And that is a question that should be presented to the American people. And Barack Obama's made everything worse, George.
You heard Chairman Priebus right there last week, a defining week for the campaign, a good week for the Republican campaign.
Well, I don't know what prism he's looking through. I don't think anybody else would define it as a good week, but it was an enlightening week. The week began with Governor Romney basically slandering 47% of America, saying that they were hooked on dependency, didn't pay their taxes, and so on. And at the end of the week, we saw him manipulating his own tax returns to try and plump up his portion of taxes to 14%.
You're talking about not taking the charitable deductions.
Right. Last 2 months ago on your own air, he said that anybody who didn't take the deductions they were owed wasn't qualified to be president. Well, I guess he's not qualified, because that's exactly what he did last week to try and get his number up from 9 or 10% to 14%. It's fair to say that a lot of those 47% that he was slandering earlier in the week, probably pay more, a higher percentage of their income in taxes overall than he does.
Yeah, well, you know, God bless Willard. I'm listening to Ryan's Priebus, try to spin this in some positive way, to continue to insult again seniors, the disabled, our military veterans, and I could go on, is just wrong. On Meet the Press, they did get into a discussion. Should we all, quote unquote, have skin in the game? There's been talk this week about a federal income tax, and Tim Kaine, who is a Democrat running against George Allen in Virginia, said that he would be open to that idea. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick on Meet the Press yesterday, when asked if he would support it, he said maybe. But this is the first I'm hearing of it, wouldn't go on. I want to reiterate something I said last week, just because I want to be clear on this. We all pay some kind of taxes, whether it's sales tax, whether it's a state income tax, we all pay some kind of taxes. Folks, taxes are important. They're literally important. We need them for services. So what you ask yourself is, do you want less tax or less service? Those really are your choices. Let's leave the hour with this piece of audio from conservative columnist Peggy Noonan, who was perhaps openly criticized for calling out the Romney campaign this week for their buffoonery. But she said behind the scenes, maybe a little bit different note. This is what she had to say on Face the Nation. Peggy Noonan, please. Peggy Noonan.
Conservatives look to you for advice. I mean, you are a leading voice on the right. You called the Romney campaign this week a rolling calamity. Did you get any blowback from your Republican friends on that?
Of course not. Yeah, I'll tell you, Bob, it was very interesting. There was a lot of formal, official, and public blowback from the Romney campaign, from Romney surrogates, etc. What was interesting to me, however, was that privately, the constant communication I got was, thank you for saying that. They need help at the Romney campaign. They need to be woken up. They need to raise their game. The general feeling of just about all Republicans and conservatives who are watching this thing now is that this race is close. You can win it if you are Mitt Romney, if you go forward with meaning and you stop being small and merely tactical and cautious. You get yourself together, you put fundraisers aside, you go into the public, you make speeches and some commercials which show America what you stand for, what you're going to do, how you get from A to B, and why the American people should follow you. So there's very broad feeling that the Romney campaign needed to be woken up, and I'm here to help.
And she's there to help. Well, I don't know that it's going to work, but go for it. You know, we do have a lot of time left between now and Election Day, and this is politics, and anything can happen. Kind of like the end of the Lions game yesterday. 18 seconds left, down by 14 points, and they tied it. Well, there's a reason this stuff is rare, because it just doesn't happen that often. But there's a reason that we say anything is possible, because it does happen from time to time. We need to continue to work our butts off to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that our candidate, and in my world, that's Barack Obama, wins. But we can't forget, and Joe DeSanto talked eloquently about this on Friday, we can't forget about what might seem unsexy, your state house race or a ballot proposal. Those things are as critical as it is to reelect President Obama. What about the reelection of Debbie Stabenow, another critical piece in the puzzle to make sure that we maintain what is now just a four-person lead, Democratic lead, in the U.S. Senate. It's important that we make sure that Debbie Stabenow is reelected. Folks, there's a great deal of heavy lifting to do and will be up and through November 6. Now, in the next hour, we are going to talk a little bit about voter suppression. We know it's a big deal. We're also going to talk about voter suppression in the last hour of the show. Why? Well, all you have to do is Google or put in any search engine voter suppression and be stunned. There's too much to talk about. We're going to get to some of that today. Let's take a break for the top of the hour as we approach NBC News at 7 a.m. I am Tony Truppiano. We've got it going now. This is the Monday edition of First Shift. Thanks for punching in. We'll be back right after this on WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we still have that closure of 75 southbound at Squirrel Lake Road due to that accident, and you want to take an alternate route of M59 eastbound to Adams Road southbound, then hop back on to 75 southbound. And we got road construction on Northwestern Highway, both directions between Beck and Orchard Lake Road. That starts at 9 and goes until 3. And Gross Beck Highway to 696 eastbound, that ramp is closed until 4 p.m. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be partly cloudy and 65. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 72 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansen. Campaigning hard in the Buckeye State, Mitt Romney on a multi-day bus tour through Ohio, a state considered crucial to his presidential bid. Polls show he's got some catching up to do. Meantime, President Obama, gearing up for a United Nations speech tomorrow, says he's proud of his foreign achievements, telling CBS's 60 Minutes.
I said I'd end the war in Iraq. I did. I said that we'd go after Al-Qaeda. They'd been decimated in the Fatah. That we'd go after Bin Laden. He's gone.
Closing arguments in federal court today over South Carolina's new voter ID law. Opponents say the law puts too heavy a burden on minorities who don't have picture IDs. If the U.S. economy needs a little stimulus, Apple is supplying it. Economists say the iPhone 5 could pump more than $3 billion into the economy by year's end. And after nearly 80 years, Americans are still putting on the Ritz. New survey shows the Ritz cracker, that staple of Mad Men-era dinner parties, is America's top snack. Lay's potato chips and Doritos are second fiddle. This is NBC News Radio. Some things stay the same. Modern Family won its third straight Comedy Emmy last night, but some things change. Newcomer Homeland is the drama king. NBC's Mark Barger.
A modern-day drama beat out a 60s era one Sunday night. First-year conspiracy thriller Homeland broke Mad Men's four-year winning streak as TV's best drama.
GM hoping to jolt sales of its Chevy Volt, the plug-in electric car that struggled to attract buyers until its price began dropping earlier this year. Discounts run as high as $10,000 and leases as cheap as $250 a month. Wall Street on the bearish side. Stock futures point to a lower open. And did the empty chair come back to haunt Clint Eastwood? The filmmaker's latest movie, Trouble with the Curve, failed to meet Hollywood expectations, grossing just $12 million over the weekend. Analysts wondering if his controversial appearance at the Republican convention turned off some moviegoers. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no, were you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes! What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
You can have it on a train, but you cannot have it on a plane. At least two-thirds of us can't. Research by travel website RouteHappy.com finds that only 31% of domestic U.S. flights offer Wi-Fi. Every flight on AirTran and Virgin America Airlines has it, but only two-thirds of domestic Delta flights offer Wi-Fi. Only 37% of Southwest, 22% of American, and almost no United domestic flights have Wi-Fi. If you had stayed with the boring old S&P 500 for your portfolio through all the market gyrations of the past 5 years, you would be pretty happy today. The index is within 7% of its all-time high from October 07 and actually is up 4% when you factor in reinvestment of dividends. But Lipper says only 53% of all stock mutual funds are at or above the October 07 mark. Stock market's down around the world. S&P futures losing 6 points. NASDAQ futures down 9. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common. IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
CSX trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Ship with Tony Truffiano.
Good morning, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 24th day of September 2012. And, oh, we have so much going on. I want to remind you that between now and November 6th, our true goal here is to educate, inform, and empower. And part of the way we do that is by telling stories. And they don't necessarily have to be stories from our own backyard. In fact, we spend a lot of time on this program talking what's happening on the national landscape. And the reason that we do that is, A, I don't want you to feel like we're in this alone, because we're not in it alone. And at the same time, I want you to feel a sense of possibility, because people are not sitting on their hands. They're not waiting for someone else to direct them. As you know, especially here in Michigan, we have fought very hard. The emergency manager law with Public Act 4, what we're trying to do with protecting democracy in the workplace with the collective bargaining agreement on Proposal 2, and I could go on. So I received a press release in the mail, in my email the other day, and it's about an event that's going to be happening statewide in Florida next Saturday. And the reason that this is important to me, and as I shared with you a little earlier on in the show today, in our 9 o'clock hour, we will be visiting with Michael Sternberg from the ACLU of Michigan. They, along with a coalition of groups, are suing our own Secretary of State for voter suppression at the state level. Well, in Florida, they've had enough. They've just had enough. So they're going to go out and do what everybody should do, and that's demand a little respect. Joining me now from the Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, who along with the Florida NAACP are going to be doing a statewide voter registration drive, he is the state of Florida coordinator for the fraternity, and he joins us today to talk about My Vote, My Voice. And William, I first of all want to thank you for joining us this early morning.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, we've got challenges here in the state of Michigan, but nowhere, I think, has it been more demonstrative as to what Republicans are trying to do to the voting process than in the state of Florida. Certainly ground zero for voter suppression. Fortunately, your courts have corrected some of it, but William, not all of it.
That's true. And this is a trend that we're seeing across the country in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Florida and Ohio. Ironically, most of the so-called battleground states, we're seeing a trend of suddenly all of these new laws being passed designed to limit the number of people and to restrict people's ability to go to the polls and cast their votes. So we've decided that, you know, the best way to counter that is to really hit the ground at the grassroots level, encouraging people and educating people about what's going on, the importance of registering the vote, and also getting to the polls on Election Day.
You know, it's interesting, William, as we take a look at just the idea of voter suppression, it should just seem undemocratic, un-American. The idea that we would make it more difficult for people to register, which happens to be my pet project. So I take this a little more personally, and it's my right to do that. As we really kind of take a look at the constituencies that are affected, especially the elderly and minorities, you begin to wonder if there aren't some racist overtones to this as well. At least I do.
Well, I try to remain optimistic and assume that, you know, sometimes people think that they're doing the right thing and they have bad effects. But the reality is that these laws tend to affect the elderly. They tend to affect minorities. African-American and Hispanic voters, and they tend to affect young people. In one state, they're saying that they won't accept student identification as a valid identification, form of identification for voting, but at the same time, they want to eliminate all absentee voting. So it tends to have a tremendously negative effect on African-American communities and minority communities across the country.
No question, William Johnson. No question, indeed. And, it's profoundly offensive. Let's talk for a moment about the My Vote, My Voice rally that's happening next Saturday. Obviously, this is about, you know, education, empowerment, information, making sure that people know their rights. It makes me wonder, though, how much confusion has been created amongst the electorate? Are people confused as to what their rights are at this point?
I think a lot of people are confused. There are people who will go out on Election Day who have not been educated to vote. They'll go out to vote and they'll find that they're at the wrong precinct and they can no longer vote. Or they'll find that whatever form of ID they've historically used is no longer accepted. There's just all types of things that have occurred that have changed the rules. They've changed the rules because of the massive voter turnout that took place in the last election, and quite frankly, the outcome of the last election. In some states, the rules are even changing about the hours available for people to go and vote, the hours and the days and the times available for early voting. These are all things that are not necessarily going to be just common public knowledge throughout, you know, some of the communities that are going to be affected. And when they go out, they're going to be rudely surprised.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. Tell us, William, you've got almost 20 cities around the state of Florida that are going to participate this Saturday in the My Vote, My Voice rallies. I would imagine that you have been you've been publicizing this a great deal. Are you expecting a big turnout?
Yes. As you mentioned, in most every major city around the state of Florida, on September 29th, there will be My Vote, My Voice rallies designed to get the community out to almost like a community block party where they can have food and fun and bring their family and learn about the changes in the laws, learn about what their roles and responsibilities are if they want to be able to vote. And if they're not registered to vote, they can take care of all of those things right there on site. We're working with state officials, with local elected officials, with all types of community groups. There must be 12, 14 different community groups that we're coordinating with around the state. We're going out into the communities at grocery stores and in churches and passing out information and inviting the community to come out. There's no cost. We'll focus on education, and we will focus heavily on registering people to vote, as well as having a coalition of volunteers ready to sign people up to pick them up and bring them to the polls on election day.
You know, it's fascinating. I don't think most people are aware that in the state of Florida, since the last election cycle in 2008, voter registration's down 40%. That is a huge number, William. I mean, that is just a monster number. And I got to say, if the Republicans' goal was to suppress, they actually have been quite successful in slowing that part of it down.
Well, yeah, we've seen a lot of voter suppression, and as you know, in a normal election, lower voter turnout favors one party over the other. We try to remain nonpartisan in this effort, but our goal is to make sure that everyone who has a voice to be heard allows their voice to be heard by voting on Election Day.
All right.
If we don't go out and we don't cast our votes, we cannot truly complain about the outcome because it will be our own fault.
You're right.
We must motivate our communities. We must motivate those who are in underserved communities, those who are impacted by these sudden changes in the rules and the guidelines around voting, and make sure that their voices are allowed to be heard also.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you're doing this. I'm glad that we were able to share this Florida story with our audience here today. Again, the Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, along with the NAACP of the state of Florida and many other coalition groups, coming together this Saturday, the 29th of September, in rallies in every major city throughout the state of Florida to educate, empower, register, get people engaged. It's so important that we have access to this fundamental right. William, thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing this story.
Thank you so much for having us.
I appreciate
it. Have a great day.
You bet. William Johnson, again, the state of Florida coordinator for the alumni chapter, actually, of the Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, which is a public service fraternity throughout the state of Florida, actually throughout the country. Sharing the story. That's all we wanted to do, and I'm glad that we were able to do it. Let's take a quick break here. We'll be open lines to the bottom of the hour if you care to join us at this point. Now would be a good time to punch in with us. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano on First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your traffic, and heading over to 75 southbound at Square Leg Road, it's getting a little better. The two left lanes have reopened, and the accident is just blocking the right lane now, but you still got stop-and-go traffic from M59. Got a new accident on US 23 northbound at M14 that's blocking both shoulders, and we got slow traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Allard, and same thing for 96 eastbound between Spencer and Kent Lake Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 65. Tonight, a low of 48. Tomorrow, 72 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 40 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more.